So thank you for hosting. So one disclaimer before we get started, and that is that anything you say tonight does not relate to a particular person or a political party or movement or hashtag or anything. However, Rav Schwartz, shall live and be well, so he told me, well, somebody once asked him, he was giving a drasha somewhere, and a guy came over to him afterwards and said, "Rabbi, it felt like you were talking to me." So Rav Schwartz looked at him in only his inimitable style, and he said, "Sir, I make hats. If the hat fits, wear it." So this drasha, this shir, is not about any specific person, although if you can tie it to a person, you know, that's your story. We are, the Rebbe Shalom put us in a time, we're living in a very complicated time. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world, and more precisely, there are a lot of things that are going on in this country. And some of them are very wonderful, but some of them are very damaging. You know, obviously the violence you're talking about, Lo Aleinu, Kedoshim, in Pittsburgh, but not just Pittsburgh. This week was the anniversary. I can't keep track. This yesterday was the one-year anniversary of a church massacre in Texas. I think they had 26 people, Nebuch, who were gunned down. So we're living in a difficult time. And part of what is distressing to me is the rhetoric that you hear from some of the leadership in this country, and not just in this country, but the political leadership, the kind of rhetoric that we hear is very, very troubling. And so oftentimes there's not a whole lot that we can do about that, but as Avdei Hashem, we look at the Torah, we look at our tradition, we say, wow, what does that mean, and how do we process it? So I wanted to begin this discussion with, if you look on page one, the first inside cover, there is a comment of the Smak. The Smak is a book, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, a book of small book of mitzvos that's compared to the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. So the Smak is authored by the Rebbe Kuval, one of the Bali Atosos living in the 13th century. And he has a specific commandment, Mitzvah Kuf Lamed. So this mitzvah begins, Shalom Aleichem. Thanks for hosting. It begins, Shalola Arer Al HaKuhuna, that a person should not complain or cast aspersions on the kahuna. That's the first component. So one of Korach's claims was that Moshe and Aaron were taking too much authority. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. That wasn't right. It was too much power. Ubechlalze, included in this, and this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, in Easter, shelo yehe adam bal machlokas. A person shouldn't be a Baal Machlokas, somebody who fosters a dispute, fosters hatred and disunity. It's a very interesting din. You know, we like to think not to be a Baal Machlokas is good for a Musa Shmuz. If you were the Chafetz Chaim, he would tell you to stay away from Machlokas. There are a lot of people who are sensitive to this. But the Smak thinks it's a din, that if a person is machzik b'machlokas, they're following in the ways of Korach. So if you turn the next page, there is a comment of the She'ultos, which precedes the Bali Atosos, the She'ultos of Rav Achoi Gaon. On the commentary on the side, you see the Netziv, but the middle, this is from the Gaonim, She'ilas. It's formed as a question, it's Kuflam and Aleph, but it's not a question, it's an observation. You see, it's written in Aramaic Hebrew, Gaonic Hebrew. Da'aser lohon, it's not Hebrew, it's Aramaic. Da'aser lohon le'debez Yisrael, Lemevad Plugta. It is usur for the Jewish people to create a rift, a machlokas. Dekevan dekaimi beplugta. What happens when people are at odds with each other? Asu milisne ahadadi. They're going to come to hate each other. They're going to be standing on opposite sides of the aisle. They're going to hate each other. Va'amar achmara lo sisna esachicha bilvavecha. We have to avoid getting into arguments, because when we sow the seeds of hatred, we violate not just the Yisr of Lo Yeh Kekorach, but the She'iltos is telling us that it also leads us to Lo Sisna Esachicha Belvavecha. Now, how does this happen? How do we create, foment machlokas? What's the primary medium for causing arguments? Words. And that's what I want to think about tonight. And the truth is, if you look in the next pasuk, Rashi already alludes to this. This whole story begins Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahaz ben Levi. Korach, he was the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahaz, the son of Levi. So this is the beginning of the rebellion, right? The beginning of Parshas Korach, the beginning of the rebellion. So this phrase troubles and piques the interest of the Mefarshim, because they're trying to figure out, what does it mean, Vayikach Korach? What did he take? Did he take a shovel? Did he take a megaphone? Did he take a pickup truck? So if you look on the top left, Rashi, this is the left-hand commentary with a circle, is Vayikach Korach. So first he tells you, look in the Medrash Tanchuma with his beautiful drashas there. And then he says, Vayikach Korach, Lakach as atzmo litzad acher, lios nechlak mitocha ahita. The first thing he did was, he took himself and separated himself. So how does that fit with the pasuk? Vayikach, in the Onkelos, on the top, how does Onkelos translate it? Ve'ispaleg, miloshon plugta, a division. Right? Korach separated himself. He created a machlokus. And how did he do that? Go to the next underline in the Rashi, in the middle here on page 3, although I see the numbers are cut off in the corner. Vayikach Korach, Moshach Roshi Sanhedrio Shebahem Bidvarim. He reached out to the leadership with words. He tried to convince them with speeches. Kumo Shinem Arkaches Aaron, take Aaron Kechu Imachem Dvarim, take with yourselves with Dvarim, with words. So we learn that the origins of the whole concept of Machlokes, welcome, the whole idea of people struggling to get along, it starts with words. It's Kuhu Imachem Dvarim. And that's where it all unfolds. So the origins of Machlokes, of people not getting along, it starts with a demagogue, somebody who's inciting this kind of populist rhetoric of people fomenting anger and resentment. And so I think the way that we can think about this tonight is focusing on the power of words. But to do that, I want to take a step back and look at something else, which you turn the packet over, and you'll find a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Tanis. Before the little bracket, go up, let's say 12% down the page, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, neither am I, 7 lines in, Va'am Ravashi. Ravashi tells the following, Kol Talmud Chacham K'she'eno Kasha Kebarzel, Eino Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham who is not strong like iron, that's not a legit Talmud Chacham. And he quotes a pasuk, Halo, Ko Dvarai Ke'esh Nu'om Hashem. And then Ravashi, I'm sorry, he quotes this pasuk, Hu Kepati Shefotzi Sela, like a hammer smashing a rock. And we have another pasuk that Rabbi Ava quotes from in Dvarim, Eretz Asher Avoneh Varzel Al Tichrei Avoneh Ela Boneh. The builders of Torah should be like iron. So being strident and being confident and having a strong shita is very good. It's very important. You have to be rock solid. Says the Gemara, Amravina, Afilo Achi, nonetheless, Miboile leinish lemelef nafshe binichusa. A person has to nonetheless carry themselves with calmness. Just because you have a strong shita doesn't mean you have to be angry. Doesn't mean you have to be bombastic. Adarabba, you have to be strong, you have to be formidable, but a person cannot carry themselves with anger. Shenemar vahaser kas milibecha. We have to remove the anger from our hearts. Before we talk about words, we have to talk about attitude. So an attitude can be nuanced. It can be, you know, forceful. It can be strident. It can be like Barzel. But does that mean it has to be angry? It shouldn't be with anger. It's benichusa. And similarly, if you look on page 5, the Rambam has a very interesting formulation of this concept. If you were to ask somebody, a random person, what is the most important principle when it comes to deos, when it comes to attitudes and a way to lead your life, if you were the Rambam? What is the key to the Rambam's way of living?
Stay in the middle of the road.
That's right. Stay in the middle of the road, right? Be balanced. Don't be an extremist, except in one area, which divides into two. The Rambam says, and this is something that is sometimes difficult for us, but it's an important aspiration. The Rambam says we're supposed to be an extremist in two areas. Gaiva, arrogance, and kas, which is the consequence of arrogance, which is frustration and anger. The Rambam says you have to be always an extremist when it comes to arrogance and anger. Hubris has no place. And then there's the whole debate. Do we believe there's a shmina shebe shmina? It's like a shmek of anger, shmek of gaiva. But beikaron, as a matter of principle, we should be as humble as possible. So does that mean that a person should never be forceful? I'm not sure.
Hell doesn't sound like that.
Right? It sounds pretty forceful.
Yeah.
Right? In our house, we struggle. I shouldn't say Nechama. She's a tzaddikah. She never does anything out of line. But I tell you that I struggle following this line because Barzel sometimes gets heated up, like when you put it in a furnace. So, you know, the Rambam says the following.
Are you saying like passion?
Okay, yeah. Explain what you mean.
Like sometimes when you feel strongly about something, it comes out very passionate.
Right. You could be very passionate.
And heatedly almost, but not angrily.
Exactly. So this is what the Rambam has to guide us. Because how do you navigate what is passionate and what is not? So the Rambam says something very fascinating along those lines. He begins in Halacha Gimel here at Perek Beis Hilchos Deos. He begins by telling us, V'yesh Deos she'asur lo la'adam linenehem bebeinonis. There are things that are... they're not acceptable to follow the middle of the road. You can't. And what are those? You have to follow rather El Yisrachi Karakatzarach V'hu Gova Halev, which is arrogance. V'chein, three lines up from the bottom where the tiny arrow is, here on page 5, Hakas, anger. It is a very negative trait. The Rambam says, a person should teach themselves. Shalo yichos, the person should not be angry. Even on something that is kedai to be angry about. You want to instill fear and awe in your house or on the community, if you are a leader, because it is appropriate at times that parents have to set limits. That's part of parenting. Parents who don't set limits, I still remember Dr. Pelkovitz, you know, in the collaboration he did with Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichron Levrachos, they wrote a book on parenting called Balanced Parenting. And it's about love and limits in Jewish parenting. So he told us this maisa, and then I think he published it in the book. He had a kid who he was seeing, Nebuch, was very troubled. It was an adolescent who had a lot of challenges, behaviorally and otherwise. So at one point, he asked to meet with the kid and with the parents at the same time. So there was a lot of tension if that was going to work and how that was going to go. And they were in the meeting, and the kid was responding very negatively, vociferously about something in a very disrespectful way. And one of the parents said, enough, that's not okay. And then, you know, kind of the session went on. And he said, you know, okay, the parents are going to go out. Now I'm going to talk to the kid. And when the parents left, the kid said to Dr. Pelkovitz, he said, finally. He said, finally what? He said, finally they put their foot down about something. That's what the kid said. Because the kid understood he's living in a world where there's no limits. It's build, you'd say in Yiddish. It's totally out of control. So there need to be limits. And sometimes that needs to be with harshness, with seriousness. But the Rambam says, V'ratza lichos aleihem, you want to get angry, turn the whole packet over. Why? K'dei sheyachzru lemutav, so that they should do the right thing. What does the Rambam say? Much easier said than done, but maybe after many years, maybe I'll get to it by my great-grandchildren, halavai. Yira atzmo b'fneim shu kois. You should present as if you're angry. You should make them think that you're angry. K'dei liyasram, that you should give them musr. Rather, you internally should be at peace. If you mete out a punishment against someone when you're angry, it's not going to be delivered the right way. You have to pretend you're like you're angry. Sometimes we'll do this as a trick with some of the other kids, which is a good way of keeping in check. Let's say one kid needs to get put on the right path, especially when it's one of the younger kids. And one of the older kids, you kind of make like a little face that this kid knows that you're just joking, but you're feigning that you're angry. Dr. Pelkovitz likes to, he likes to quote this story. It's an, I don't know if it's a true story, but it's a good enough story. He quotes the story from Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Baruch Ber was one of the outstanding, the commandants of Rosh Hashiva was an outstanding Talmid of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So apparently Dr. Pelkovitz claims that he had an anger hat. That he had a hat in his closet that was his anger hat. That whenever he got angry, he would go to the closet to put on his anger hat to deal with anything when he was angry. So by the time he got to the closet and fished out the anger hat, he was already in a good state of mind, so he could put on the hat and deal with it. So that's what the Rambam is saying. This is one thing psychologically, the idea of a pullback mechanism is very healthy when dealing with these kinds of things. And that can be a great indicator if you're talking about something that's passionate or angry. When you use a pullback mechanism and you're not in the vortex of it, so then you can navigate it and you could still be very, very passionate, but it doesn't come from the same place. If you can't pull back from that vortex of emotion, then you're oftentimes going to get hung up with the anger. We know that intuitively it happens to us. I shouldn't say us. Maybe others were endowed with great amount of patience by the Borei Olam. I did not get that part of the gene pool. I got like the very shallow patience end. So that's a difficult nisayon. But the Rambam says, it's medame ish b'shas kaso, v'hu eino kois. Inside, a person feels calm, and they feel settled, and the Rambam then says, this is very important. Why? Because he says, take a look at the next Gemara. He doesn't tell you the page, but for no cost to you, guess what? We found it. This is the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara is discussing the concept of Kriya on Shabbos. So it's a halachic issue about tearing toilet paper and tearing newspapers and what's called Korea, what's called Tikkun, what's called the Kilkul. So in that context, the Gemara is discussing this statement in the bracket of Reb Shimon ben Elazar in the name of Chilfa Bar Agra. It says in the name of Reb Yochanan Menuri, Hamekare Begodav Bechamoso, somebody who rips their clothes in anger. Vahamashabar Kalim Bachamoso, and he smashes things when he's angry. Vahamafazar Ma'aso Bachamoso, he's furious, so he takes his wallet and he throws it against the wall. Yehe Beinecha Ka'oved Avodazara. I didn't say that. The Gemara says that. A person is Ki'ilu Oved Avodazara. And that's what the Rambam quotes next in this halacha in Hilchos Deos. That's pretty intense. That's pretty bad from the Gimel Chamuras. And the Gemara then presents a very interesting rationale, which, as we know, much of psychology could already be found in Chazal, but this is super spot on. We see it and the research bears it out. Why? Shekach umanuso shel Yetzahara. This is the strategy of the Yetzahara. Hayom omer lo aseikach, ulamachar omer lo aseikach, ach yomer lo Avod, avodazar, vaholech, vaoved. It's a process. What does this Gemara mean? A person who gets angry is going to end up worshipping idols?
It's giving in. Continuously giving in.
Bingo. It means that the person is not in control of themselves. When we get angry, we simply lose control. And so a person, the Gemara is saying exactly that. A person who's constantly giving in because they don't have the ability to master their emotions and to get a grip of their situation, so then that's the beginning of the Ta'alich of Avodah Zarah, because they're just going to be following their impulses constantly. That is the root of it.
Why Avodah Zarah? Like, why is that the?
Because what? Oh, because what is the concept of Avodah Zarah? It means you're following some other drive, exactly, and that's why Darshanim today, you know, if you listen to Magidim or Darshanim, they like to talk about Avodah Zarah in other fashions. Nobody today, at least that I'm aware of, is worshiping African masks. But they are drawn to things that also Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Shia Tversky, Dr. Tversky, is very into this. There are other things that take control of people's lives today. And that's the proverbial equivalent of Avodah Zarah. that people have lost the ability to control, whether it has to do with technology or other kinds of addictions or substances or things that we're drawn after them. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara has a very interesting conversation about Menashe. The Menashe was Nebuch. He was a terrible idol worshiper. So one of the Amorim says, oh, we're going to learn tomorrow about my buddy Menashe. And Menashe comes to him in a dream and says, excuse me, I'm not your buddy. Don't think you have any idea what was going on over there, because if you would have lived in my era when we struggled with the addiction of Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah addiction, you would have picked up your pants and run before me to get to the Avodah Zarah. That's what Gemara says in Sanhedrin. So what is Gemara trying to drive at? That there was this draw that the Gemara says in Yuma that they were mevatel the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. We can't understand what that is. But it means that people didn't have self-control. They were running, to do things that didn't make any rational sense. It was totally mishigas. But they lacked the basic self-control. So what the Rambam is telling us is that that is the same yesod as kas. That when we lose it, we're mamish losing it. And the truth is, I know from my own experience, we feel it afterwards. When we really lose it, afterwards, when we finally calm down, we're like, you know what? I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself because I was out of control. I wasn't myself. If I would have been in control of myself, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have acted that way. So who did it? I lost control. The person lost control of the wheel. And that's why the Rambam is saying, the Rambam quotes this as a din. The Rambam is not just giving a drasha. The Rambam quotes this Gemara because he wants us to understand that when a person succumbs to the concept of kas, so they're not being passionate. Because what is passion? Passion is a controlled emotion that says, I am very committed to this idea and I'm going to share it in an impassioned and emotionally charged way. But I'm totally in control. I can turn it on and I can turn it off. But when a person falls in, Nebuch, many of us have this nisayon, that when I fall into the challenge of kas, I'm totally out of control. That's one of the reasons why the Gemara says a person is nikar b'kaso. You learn a lot about a person when they're angry. Because a lot of things come out. A lot of stuff comes out. And then it has actual consequences. It has spiritual consequences also. If you turn the packet, this is a medrash. The medrash in Parsha Shmini. Vayiktsov al-Elazar ve'al-Isamar. Moshe Rabbeinu was upset on Elazar and Isamar. V'kevin shekos nesalim menu halacha. Guess what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon HaNeviim, Rabbeinu, he forgot the halacha. How did he forget the halacha? As a consequence of being angry. And that's what the Medrash says. Three times, next line, Bishlosha Mekomos Kwas Moshe Minis Almenu Halacha, Ve'elohein, Shabbos, Klemidyan, Klematchas, and Onein. On those three examples, the Medrash goes on to explain them. So when a person turns on the radio, or turns on the TV, or the internet, or wherever you're getting your news from, and you hear Kas, you can hear it. You hear it in people's voice. You hear it in the tone. There's a difference between being impassioned and kas. That kind of dangerous and angry and caustic speech. You hear that because sometimes when a person is speaking b'kas and they're losing control, they start talking in a way where it's not just the tone, it's the words that they're using that indicate that they're speaking b'kas. So what do they sink to? They sink to, sometimes I hear things, it's like, I would expect that from my third grader, my fourth grade, I'm with it. You expect that from an adult? Name calling, what kind of a... This is a whole nother shtickle Torah, which we don't have time for tonight, which is called Onoas Devarim. That's verbal abuse. That's also a din. If you look, it's interesting. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, Onoas Devarim, the Rambam includes, first of all, as a separate lav, not just Onoas Mammon, ripping somebody off financially, but also verbal abuse, name-calling. The Rambam says, that is also a separate Issur D'oraisa, which is interesting that the Rambam counts it separately. It's from a Gemara Bava Metzia. So what examples did the Gemara give? The Gemara talks about somebody was a Baal Tshuva. So the Gemara says, can you say to that Baal Tshuva, when you drive by Poochie's, what's the equivalent of Poochie's in Lincolnwood? You don't really have. You don't have.
Like, we know what
you only have. You only have kosher.
Eden's?
No.
It's the Treif hot dog restaurant on Dempster that used to be next door to Ortora.
The hair salon kept on moving, like it kept on falling your hair.
Exactly. So now it's still on Dempster.
Yeah.
And apparently it's such a mafursim dicka thing. My father-in-law has a partner who works in his ophthalmology practice in Florida, in Aventura.
He knows well.
So we once were there, I don't remember what we were doing there, so Nechama told this guy, this non-Jewish doctor, that we live in Chicago. He says, oh, I did my residency in Chicago. Do you know Poochie's? Oh, we're like, what? The Treif hot dog place that the shul just bought out? So anyway, you ever drive on Dempster and you say to the guy next to you in the car, he says, ah, remember when you used to eat at Poochie's? You know, it's just like a little shtach. So the Gemara says, that's an Issa Daraisa, that's Onoas Devarim. So to put people down, that kind of language, that is often associated with the same midah. It's the same midah of anger and lack of control that people say things and they post things and they tweet things that are totally undignified. So this is the whole destructive environment. And then where does it come out? This is the key point. It comes out in the words. It dafka comes out in the words. That's where we see it. And that's where we hear it. And you might say, who cares? What does it matter? It's just words. It's milim de alma. But as we know, words have tremendous effect. I just came across, there was a very interesting TED Talk that I listened to. Now that I have this interesting piece of technology. It's an iPod.
Oh.
Not an iPhone, but it's an iPod. But on this iPod, I can get podcasts. It's new. I can get podcasts. So it doesn't replace my phone. Baruch Hashem, I still have my phone. But on an iPod,
can you text on it?
You can, but it doesn't have my phone number, so whatever. That's it's not so useful. Okay. But on an iPod, you can get podcasts, which is gewaldic, amazing podcasts. So one of the podcasts that I subscribe to is this thing called TED Podcast. So they send out every day videos, and some of them are very interesting. Some of the tremendous chachma. So there was a podcast, I wrote it down. Her name is Christine Porath, and she has a TED Talk on incivility. She has a whole shtickel Torah on the cost to businesses of incivility. That people who use harsh language and demeaning language in work, what the cost of in terms of productivity there is in their business. How the people who are the victims of this harsh language, how they diminish their productivity and they don't accomplish what the business is looking to accomplish. And she has a whole shtickel Torah, a whole research to demonstrate that you would say, so what's the big deal? So you insulted somebody in a meeting. But there are actual financial costs. And then there are, of course, the words that have an effect on our psyche. So there was some research done that was done a couple of years ago. It was reported in the New York Times. You know, the famous saying, sticks or stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, which is the dumbest thing of all time. No one ever should tell anybody that because it really is the dumbest thing. It's totally wrong. They did some scientific research on when a person is in a state of acute stress, it affects their neurons and their, you know, whatever components of their brain. You have to check with the scientists. I don't remember the exact, the point was what? That when a person feels that they are being attacked and that the words are coming at them, so then that can put them in a state of distress and they can actually have a physiological reaction, a negative physiological reaction just to words. Dvarim ba'alma. But dvarim ba'alma are not stam dvarim ba'alma. So that's on the negative side. On the positive side, of course, the Rabbon Shalom created the world with words. There is a beautiful comment. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, the Heiliger Reb Levi Yitzchak, he has an amazing comment in the Kedusha Shni and the Kedusha Slevi, where he quotes from the Arizal. He says, you should know that Arizal says that, you know how you bring bracha into the world? Through your speech. So he says something very fascinating. I never knew this until recently. A friend of mine, Rabbi Eli Michel, sent me this comment from the Bar Dichver. I thought it was amazing. We say on the Seder night, we say, Marbala Saper Hareza Meshubach. The more you speak about the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Nisim and the flaws that HaKadosh Baruch did for us, the more it's Meshubach. So the Bar Dichver quotes from the Arizal. He says, why is it more Meshubach? Because he says, when you speak, when you use words of salvation, then the Ribono Shel Olam opens up the channels of salvation into the world. By speaking about Yeshua's, you introduce Yeshua's into the world. By speaking about Nisim, those Osios, somehow, according to the tradition, this mystical tradition, there are letters that are waiting to give a Yeshua into the world. Those letters, those words are up there in the heavens, but they're just waiting. But when you speak about it, when you speak that into just the table, the Shabbos table, the dinner table, the person who's standing next to you, when you speak about that, it has an effect in Ruchnius in the whole world. It brings Yeshua into the world. It's tremendous.
You're saying with anything, your words have power.
Yes. So it's negative on the both on that side, but certainly on the positive side. I always suspected, I wondered that, you know, there's a big inyan people talk about to make a kiddush. When a baby girl is born, they should make a kiddush. Why should you make a kiddush when a girl is born? What's the big thing? Why should you make a kiddush? That's what I think it is. Because at a bris, people show up, they grab a bagel, a cup of orange juice, and they go over, they say, Mazel Tov, Yishu B'zoch, L'Torah L'Chup L'Masim Tovim. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. The Gemara says, Brachas, Al Tei Birchas Hedu Kal Beinecha. You know, Baruch Hashem, we moved in recently into a new house, so many people blessed us that we should have a lot of mazel, good things in our new house. That was the best thing that ever happened. Because I said, Amen, to every, Amen, like the Ramban says, Ken Yasa Hashem. Everybody, someone gives you a bracha, so for a girl, there's no Shalom Zachar, there's no bris, so you have to make a kiddush. How else are you going to get everybody into the house and say, you should be Zochel Lagan, L'Torah, L'Kubal, L'Masim Tovim? I think that's, I don't know if that's a kiddush or not.
It is.
I think that's why it is, right?
And then she'll get married.
Right.
And everything else.
If she doesn't get married at 21, you're like, oh my God, I didn't ever make
it. So you got to make a kiddush. It's good. Never too late. Because to give somebody a bracha, to give somebody a positive word, that has a big ashpah. And I wonder if that's connected to this teaching.
It, came from, but this makes
it makes sense, right? If the Bar Dichver is saying that when you bless it, there are a lot of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh teachings like this. You know, there's old Hasidic stories of a guy who comes to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe sends him home with three pennies, and he goes to an inn, and he has two l'chaims, and everybody says l'chaim. By the time he finishes all his l'chaims, just with his three pennies, he has three drinks to share with the different people. He goes back, the Rebbe says, your gzar din was torn up, because everybody wished you l'chaim. So there is a koach to this. The koach of bracha comes from the osios, from the words, from the speech. So the koach is there to destroy, but of course, elu umazeh, it has the ability to create, to fashion, to build. And where does this come from? So I think it comes from this Ha'ara of the Maharal. Page number 9 is this din that we mentioned before about Onoas Devarim. Let's go to number 10. This is one of the drushes of the Maharal. This Maharal, we have it in two ideas. Take a look on 10 and 11. Let's start with 10. Go down, the first word on the line, Sigizint. Go down to the first word on the line is tefillah. Let's say 78% of the way down the page. Fourth to last word on that line, rock. Maral here, the Halakha Maral is talking about how we have two eyes and two ears, but you only have one mouth. Rak haloshon hi yechidus ba'adam. We have two eyes, but we have two ears, but we only have one mouth. Why? The lashon, the tongue, is yechidis. V'davar zeh ki ein, there is nothing. Halashon roi sheyeshnayim. You can't have two mouths. Why? Ki hadibur, this is the line. Look at this line. Hadibur hu ha'adam be'atzmo. Our speech is who we are. That is our definition. Maral says, Ha'adam, the person, is their speech. That's why Maharal quotes when Rebbe Shalom created man, Vayipach ba'apof nishmas chaim, he blew into us a living soul in our nostrils. Unkelus says, Ruach memalala lemalil means to speak. To be human means to speak. So you can't have multiple avenues. It's one. It's just the definition of us is just the one ability to speak. That is what's definitional to us. That's why the Koach HaDibur is so significant. So the Maharal then continues. Here in the Chiddush HaGadol in Shabbos, Maharal says, flip the packet to the next page. That's why the Gemara says, Kol HaMenavel Piv, somebody who disgraces their mouth and speaks in an undignified fashion, says the Maharal, Pirish, bottom right, Kvar amarnu ki achet nivol peh, hu shechote bedibur. A person speaks in a crass, undignified way. Asher hu tsuras ha'adam, b'masha ha'adam chai medaber. The tsura of the person is that we are living, speaking entities. And this lacuna, this shortcoming, is motzi divrei nevala. All of these are menavel piv. They are destroying top of the next column. The mouth, that is the tzura sa'adam. How careful do we have to be with our speech? To be speaking in a way that is hateful and demeaning and damaging, that's a breach of what we are as human beings. Not just as Jews, but as people. We need to stand up and say, this kind of language, this kind of speech is not acceptable. Rather, we need to speak in a dignified way. And to close, there's one further ha'ara, which I think makes this point in a different way. The Rambam, as we know, wrote 14 books. And one of these books, the Rambam calls Sefer HaFla'a. This is the title page for the sixth book of the Rambam, the Sefer HaFla'a. What are the halachos that the Rambam includes in the Sefer HaFla? The word HaFla literally means amazing, awesome, the book of awesomeness. What is in the book of awesomeness? Says the Rambam, Hilchos of Arba v'zeo Siduran, Hilchos Shvuas, Hilchos Nedarim, Hilchos Nezirus, and Hilchos Arochin v'charamim. The laws of oaths, the laws of commitments, the laws of taking upon yourself a verbal commitment to be a nazir, and the laws of donations to the Beis HaMikdash, the Hekdash, the Cherem. What do those all have in common? That's right. Bingo. When we say Asher Yatzar, we say Rofecho Basar Umafli La'asos. Because what's mafli, what's a pella, what's amazing? The ability to fuse something which is physical, like the biological system that enables us to function, with the spirit, the ruach, the neshama. So that's mafli lasos. The fact that we're human beings, that we take care of our physical needs and we also have spiritual needs, that's every asher yatzar. So the mafli, the pella, is to be able to fuse physical and spiritual. What is the mechanism through which you express this synthesis, this fusion of physical and spiritual? Speech. Because in speech, you take an idea that was abstract, that was spiritual, and you translate it into something which is in this world. It's in the shape of words, in the shape of letters that have meaning. So the ability to speak, it's a pella. That's why the Rambam calls it Sefer HaFla. It's amazing. So to think about how amazing it is that we have the gift of speech and the capacity of speech and how speech can be super productive. So we need to use that speech in a way that is just that is constructive. And if we're living in a time where the abuse of speech is so rampant, so we need, at least at our own dalanamas, at least at our own table, we need to make a macha. There's a story of Rav Nachman Mibreslov, they tells, which is apropos to many things. It's apropos to a lot of Yesodos. I love this story. But it's specifically true for this, because even if we can't change anything, at least we should have the right mindset in Avodas Hashem. There was a king who had a close confidant, an advisor, And the advisor comes to him one day and he says, King, your highness, we have a problem. All the grain has been wiped out due to a famine, and the only grain, leave it to Rav Nachman, the only grain that's left to eat is grain that if you eat it, you become insane. You lose your mind. So the king said, okay, Shine, what are we going to do? We're going to have to eat the grain. But before we do that, we have to do the following. Here's a magic marker. I want you to put on your forehead a dot, and I want, after, when you finish, you to give me the magic marker, and I'm going to put a dot on my forehead. So his friend says, why are we putting dots on our forehead? So the king says, look, if we're going to eat the grain and be insane, that's one thing. But at least when we see the dot, we'll remember that we're insane. So even if we can't change what's being broadcast online and what the people are saying, at least we should have a hasaga that as Bnei Adam, as people who are following the Torah Hashem, that we should never let that become normal. That should always be insane. We can't take it away. We can't necessarily end it. We can, if you're good at writing an op-ed, you can write an op-ed, or you can publish something online. I don't have Twitter. It doesn't go with my thing over here. But in theory, at least we should all remember what it means to be Bnei Adam, to be B'Tselem Elokim, to have that Ruach Mamalala, to make sure that we cut down on whatever angry rhetoric we hear, and we try to inspire ourselves and other people to follow in the Devarcha D'Archei Noam. You could be Barzal, you can have passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously Hashem created us human beings with the anger. We all, you know, it's inside of us. So why if it's such a terrible thing that we need to go to such an extreme not to have it, like you said, and also just to avoid, like, with everything in us, are there ways? Does the Torah teach you how to not be angry? Like,
oh, great. So two things on that.
How do you get there?
Great. So two things. First of all, right, to your point, there are important avenues. Chazal have an idea that, and Rav Kook develops this a lot, that every midah has an appropriate channel. So where does the anger come from? So anger could come from two places. It could come from something negative, which is expectations. I was expecting that she would be downstairs already, and she's not downstairs, so now I'm frustrated, I'm angry. That comes from a place of gaiva. So that gaiva needs to be dealt with, because that's not a healthy place. Gaiva also has sometimes a good place. You have to be proud of yourself. You have to have self-esteem. Somebody who treats themselves like a shmata, that's not in the ways of the Torah. So that's one thing. So there is a way to channel, to figure out, is this anger coming from a bad place? It's coming from gaiva. Or maybe it's coming from what you said before, that it's coming from a place where I'm really passionate about something, but I'm getting hung up. So I have to figure out, how do I channel this instead of a place of anger in something that's positive? Right, so that's one. And then there's the other one, which is for those of us who aren't blessed with so much patience by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we need to figure out, well, what's our avoda? How do we, A, channel the anger in an appropriate way, and B, how do we learn not to be so angry? So we need to drill down to say, well, where's it coming from? You know, why am I getting angry? Is it because I'm an entitled person and I feel like I'm entitled to something? Is it because I have low self-esteem and because I'm lashing out at people? If I had better self-esteem, I wouldn't feel that need to lash out. If that goes into a lot of work, the Avodas Hamidos, of how to address it. Why would the Rebbe Shalom give us that? Probably because there's a little core of it that's very important in life. People who never are excited, they never get passionate about something, they're never driven, they never accomplish anything. You know, the guy, La'avdil, Elif Alfei Havdalos, the guy who founded McDonald's, Ray Kroc, I think his name was, right? This guy was a very passionate guy. We wouldn't have billions and billions of people serve McDonald's if you wouldn't have had a guy, right? So the idea of being fired up about something is good. It's good. The question is, how is it channeled? Is it channeled in a way that's angry, meaning it has an edge to it, it has something negative? So that's one thing. If it's challenged in something positive, then I think it's potentially very healthy.
It could be a show fate if you have, right?
Oh, beautiful. I forgot. That's the Gemara in the end of Shabbos. Some people who are red hot. So you can either be, you know, a gangster, the Gemara says, or you could be a shochet or a moel. You know, you can find avenues. You could be a demolition worker. I don't know. There are a lot of good things that require. So these are some thoughts. I thank you all for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
To